Certainly good to see everyone this morning. If you would, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll be going there in just a few moments. Young people have been on my mind a lot lately, for obvious reasons, I'm sure. But we have several here who are at a beginning stage of one way or another in their life. We have some in high school who are just looking ahead and trying to think about what they want to do next. We have several in the college age that are preparing and beginning their careers, just starting out or still figuring out which direction that's going to take them. Some who are planning to get married soon and thinking about building a new life together as a married couple. Some who are young parents who are just having new babies and have little ones that they're just beginning that whole journey of parenthood. And so when you think about it that way, there's a large chunk of us are in that early stages where there's some exciting new beginnings going on in their life. And today, as we think about that, we'll consider the analogy of building and building a home or building your life together and the importance of building that on a solid foundation. We've been looking recently in a series of lessons from the Proverbs, and this kind of fits into that general scheme, but this is going to come from the New Testament instead of the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs have to do with wisdom, and they're really addressed, many of them, at a young person, especially a young man. A father talking to his son, giving him advice to one who is simple, one who is still figuring it all out, and one who's still got his life ahead of him. And the older, wiser person is addressing them and trying to warn about the pitfalls of life and trying to point out the right way to go. And Jesus, of course, the very embodiment of wisdom, came and preached and taught and showed us how to live. And at the end of Matthew chapter 7, he concludes his perhaps most famous sermon with these words in verses 24 through 27. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." I would suggest to you, as we consider this instruction, something of a parable here at the end of the sermon, that every one of us is building. Some of us are working on an old house that was started a long time ago, and we're still, constantly working on that. Our life, if we think about that, if your life as a house that you've been building, some of us have been working on ours for quite a while. And some, especially those young people as I was describing, it's almost as if they're standing there with an empty lot where that they've purchased and it's just grass, and that maybe there's some stakes, or maybe they're just trying to imagine what could happen, what could become of this empty lot of their life. You know, what will be built here? What will it be like? That's an exciting kind of time, but everybody is working on something. So imagine a neighborhood of homes under construction where some have already been built, maybe phase one was several years ago, and then others are currently under construction and they're in various stages of, completion. And then there's some empty lots where nobody has started yet. And that's kind of maybe representative of our group. And then imagine an inspector, the dreaded inspector. Builders usually don't like dealing with inspectors. Here comes the inspector, and you're walking around. There's a reason for those inspectors. But imagine if he walks into some houses, and he says, "Yeah, this looks nice, but the first thunderstorm that hits it in the spring, and this thing's liable to fall apart." That would be shocking to hear. I remember Leon telling me about a local builder who, back in the day when he was building homes, was really cutting corners and was doing shoddy work. And as an example of this one home that they actually brought Leon in to try to help correct the mistakes of the previous guy, and I don't remember his name, but the other guy. But they had, in every stud in the wall, there was one nail on the top and one nail on the bottom. He said you could walk up to any of them and just grab them and twist like that. And that's in the bones of the house. That's the structure that's... And so, but by the time they put the drywall and paint, you wouldn't know it to look at it, that underneath it, the structure was not stable. So it would be, you would want to know that if you were having a home built, if this thing is being built the right way. It doesn't really matter if it looks nice What if it looks nice, but it's going to fall over under if any kind of strong wind comes, or if there's when the snow is on the roof, or when the rains and the thunderstorms come, it's going to collapse. That would be a frightening idea. And so it'd be important that the structure be strong and that it be built on a stable foundation that's not going to settle and shift and crack and, make the whole thing weak. And so that's the importance of building the right way on the right foundation. And, of course, we want to build our lives in that way. And Jesus is using this comparison here of two people building homes. In the parable that he tells, there's two people building a house. Sort of imagine two neighbors building side by side. And so here's a guy building and here's another guy building. And he's saying, I'm going to tell you the difference between these two and what's going to happen to them. And that is about how our lives are in relationship to our listening and obeying. So let's just dive into this teaching a little bit deeper and really think through what he's saying here. The first thing is that it begins with listening. Because you notice he says for both people in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine, and then again in verse 26, everyone who hears these words, both people are hearing the words, but that is a necessary first step to listen. Most people, unfortunately, we have this thing about us that we feel like we don't need directions. That's pretty common problem. That you buy something, it comes in a box, there's a little pamphlet in there, that goes somewhere else, and I got this, I can do it. I've actually been on the other side of that, writing those directions before. And it's a little frustrating knowing that nobody's ever going to read what you're writing, because you put a lot of thought into making it very clear. And, when I worked at Goodman here, we had to send out a kit to fix a problem that was potentially a deadly problem if it wasn't fixed. I mean, it could be very dangerous. And so it was serious enough that we made a little kit, and we sent this kit to every distributor out there who had ever bought one of these units to go out and fix it. And so that's a pretty serious thing. In the kit was some wires, a red wire, a white wire, and a little, a couple of components, and simple little instructions that I wrote. And so before we sent them out, of course, all these things get reviewed, and I wanted to test them to see if they would work. So I went down to the model shop where we had guys, and I said, here, I'm just going to watch. You take these instructions and this kit and put it together. I want to see if you understand and you can do it. And I'm not going to intervene or say anything. And they worded it all wrong. But they weren't even looking at the directions. They were just doing it because they thought they knew. And so I thought, okay, this isn't a good example. I need to find somebody that doesn't know anything about this so they'll actually read the directions. So I went and found some other people that didn't know anything about the things, and I brought them outside to a unit, and I said, here's these directions, here's this kit, I'm just going to watch you do it. Imagine this showed up in the mail, do what you would do. And they looked at it, and they set it aside, and they started just hooking it up, and they did it wrong. I thought, what are we going to do? I mean, I can write directions, but if nobody's going to read them, what's the point, And that's people. We tend to throw that stuff in the trash and we don't pay attention because we think, what? I got this. I can read. This is a red wire that goes there. I can figure this thing out. I don't need anybody to tell me. We take that approach to life, I think, sometimes, that we don't need anybody to tell us how to live our lives. Well, I can figure this out. I'm perfectly capable. But you know what Jeremiah said? Oh, Lord, I know. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. The way of man is not in himself. So Jeremiah said, he figured this out. This takes some humility, doesn't it? But actually, it doesn't take much more than just opening your eyes and looking around to realize that people aren't so hot at figuring things out themselves. In fact, we usually tend to make a mess of things. And so if it's pride that says, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. But as long as we have that kind of pride, the wisdom is going to be left outside and we're going to be having to learn everything the hard way. But Jeremiah recognized that we need some direction. And in fact, if we want our home to be built well, we need the Lord involved in the construction of it. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to be late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. How many people beat themselves to death, working themselves to the bone, stressing and worrying, trying to build their life, but the Lord's left out of it, and it's all a wasted effort. Unless the Lord is involved, then the construction is not going to be successful. We have to have the Lord involved in our building of our lives in order for us to be stable and secure and for it to turn out the way that we want it to. So we have to be humble. We have to listen. And on this occasion in Matthew 7, these people had listened. If you would look back at chapter 5 and verse 1, this is the beginning of this sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, verse 1, it says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him." And then he begins to teach. And if you scroll through those chapters, 5, 6, 7, it's nearly all solid red if your Bible is colored that way, because this is the Sermon on the Mount. It's a long sermon. But notice we get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7. The last two verses say, "When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes." So apparently these people, a large portion of them, had sat for this entire sermon and listened to it. They followed him onto the mountain. He taught them. They listened. And when he was finished teaching, they said, "Wow, this guy teaches with authority. This isn't like going to church, in other words. This is like something different. This is really good. He's different than what we're used to listening to. He knows what he's talking about." That's good. They had listened. But actually, the reason why Jesus concludes his sermon with this parable about the builders is there was something else they needed to do. It was good that they were there. But what's the difference in the two builders? The one who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like the guy building the rock. But notice the other guy also heard. He said, "But everyone who hears these things and does not do them." So just hearing was not going to be enough. Just listening isn't going to result in building on the rock. You're going to have to put it into practice. Look over at Luke chapter 6. We don't usually look at this passage, but this is Luke's account of the same teaching, but it uses a little bit of different words, which I think paints a neat picture of it. In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" That doesn't make any sense. Why would you call me your Lord, but you don't obey me? And then he says, verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house. It could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great." It's the same teaching, but it told in a little bit different words. And I like the picture there because it says he had to dig down deep to get to the rock. Now we understand this rock that we're talking about is bedrock. So he dug down deep and built. But what's the difference between the two? Again, it is the one who hears and does what they hear. They put it into practice. Unfortunately, many people listen but don't obey. And that's what Jesus is warning about. And the same thing has always been true. In Ezekiel's day, Ezekiel said this to, the Lord said this, we'll get to this eventually in Larry's class on Wednesday. This is in 33, so this is a few weeks away probably. But here he said to the Lord said to Ezekiel, "As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and the doors of their houses, say one to another, each to his brother, come, hear what the word is that comes from the Lord." That's kind of surprising. God's telling Ezekiel, look, you know what? They're talking about you. But what they say is, let's go listen to the word of the Lord. That sounds good. Verse 31, "They come to you as people come. They sit before you as my people. They hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths, they act. Their heart is set on their gain. Behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice, who plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know a prophet has been among them." He was decreeing judgment on them. He said, the judgment's coming. But notice that he says that they actually enjoy listening to you, Ezekiel. They like hearing what you have to say. But they don't do what they hear. They don't put it into practice. They say, let's go. And it's like going and listening to a performance that they enjoy. So this would be like, imagine there was a preacher who, you know, people just enjoyed, like a visiting preacher or a guy that holds meetings. Like, let's go. He's such a great speaker. And you go and you just leave and you say, wow, that was so good. That's good. But what good does it do you if it doesn't affect your life? if it doesn't affect the way you live, just listening and appreciating and saying that, well, I really enjoyed that. That sounded great. But without doing something isn't going to be very helpful. You know, they sell in the stores, and now you can find them online too, but workout videos of people showing you how to get in shape. I remember I was laughing about old Richard Simmons, right? His red and white shorts. I remember that guy being on TV when I was a kid. But Sweating to the Oldies or something, they were always kind of advertising. But what if you bought one of those things? You know, what if you bought one of those workout things because you really wanted to get in shape? And so you sat down every day and you played it and you got to where you memorized the whole thing. But what if you actually didn't follow along? What would be the value to you of just listening to that? And maybe you would understand why it all works. And you say, I can do that. I can do that. Yep. I got all that. Yep. I know this. And oh, watch this part. This is good. But what if you're just doing all that from the comfort of your couch and you never get up and do any of it? It would be kind of pointless, wouldn't it? It'd be just a waste of time. And that's sort of the same thing of coming to the Word, listening to Jesus teach, and not doing anything about it. What's the point of that? What good was it going to do? Think of how blessed these people were that were reading about Matthew 7 and Luke 6. They had the opportunity to sit at the feet of the Son of God and listen to Him preach. And that would be, what a blessing. I can't imagine. Imagine if you heard His voice and you could sit there and listen to Him do all this teaching. But what Jesus knew was, among those people who were there that day, they're going to leave. Some of them were going to take what He said and put it into practice, and some of them were not. And that's why He's saying this. It's not enough just to hear. You have to actually put it into practice. And that's going to make the difference in whether your house is built on the foundation. So let's look a little closer again at the picture He paints. He says, everyone who hears these words and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Why is doing what Jesus said like building your house on a rock? I think the implication is that His words, His teachings, are that stable bedrock foundation. This says something about the Word of God. We read in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, Your Word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Ms. Meriden brought this up this morning in class. We were talking about the Word of God. You can go all the way back to the beginning of it, and it is stable and secure. So when you're looking for something on which to build your life, some principles to guide you as you go out into the world, some principles to guide your new marriage, some principles to guide you in your beginning as a parent, some principles to guide you as you're starting a career, and you're saying, what are some guidelines, what are some things that will help me as I'm starting out and I'm building my life? You need something that's not going to shift and change, something that's stable and secure. And the Word of God is that very thing that we can trust. It isn't going to change. A lot of things change all the time. The wisdom of a man changes all the time. I remember just in the time we were having our kids, something as simple as how they should sleep when you lay them down. When Jack was born, I think it was they have to be on their back. And it was like when Sabrina came along, they had to be on their belly. I think when Grant came, they had to be on their side. But it was kind of constantly changing what the experts say you're supposed to do. You can think about what they tell you you should or shouldn't eat. There was a time when, some things were healthy, now they say they're bad. Some things were bad, now they say they're just fine. And it's kind of like, people just kind of, it almost, you could say, make it up as they go along. But they're, it's just the winds of whatever people think today. How stable is that? Imagine if your life is built on principles that were taught to you that were just what somebody thought, and that, well, now it's all changing. It would be like the ground underneath you is moving. But that's not the way the Word of God is, because the Word of God is stable and secure. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I've got a couple of passages for 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Again, talking about this Word of God and it being secure. Beginning in verse 23, says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, the glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and falls away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So, The world's ideas about how life should be lived are constantly shifting and changing, but there is underneath all that a bedrock that never moves, and that's the Word of God, and it is fixed and firm. And another thing about this picture of the foundation, building your house on the rock, and Jesus being the foundation, is that he defines for us what is right and wrong. Look at chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verses 4 through 8, kind of using this image in a little bit different way. But in chapter 2, verse 4 through 8, "And you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves are like living stones, being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense." So Jesus is the foundation. We are built on this foundation, and we are built on this cornerstone. And so when you have a cornerstone, it's like you pick the spot where you're going to start taking all the rest of the dimensions. And that this is the, you know, imagine just an empty field. Or you've seen this place they're building over here in a little dip of the side of Huntsville Highway, and they're pouring gravel there. Sooner or later, there's going to be a building there, I assume. And so you got to pick, like, where does it start? So you'd start, like, in a corner. And once you pick this spot, that's the corner. And now we're going to go this way and that way. Everything gets defined. So Jesus is the cornerstone. And then our foundation is defined by his word, measured from him, the perfect standard. The original perfect standard that we go back to. And if you get off track in that, then things aren't going to work out right. But in our lives, and we look at the teachings of Jesus, and he says, look, this is the perimeter. This is the definition of how you build your house. And if we follow those instructions, our house will be well built. And it will be secure when the storms come. And that's really the next point. A house that is well built will withstand the storm. You remember he says there that the man who hears these words and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came, the wind blew, but the house stood firm. But the foolish man's house fell flat, right? If we know how the song goes. He built his house on the sand, and it wasn't stable. So when the storm came, it collapsed. And that's really the difference here between these two pictures. What's interesting about that is that storms are coming either way. Think about this. Jesus is comparing two builders. I wish that I could say to you that he says, if you'll listen to my words, I will tell you where to build your house so that no storms will come against it. That would be nice, wouldn't it? What if this was like a secret code for, hey, if you listen to me and if you'll do what I'm telling you, I'm going to show you how to build your house in a way that there's no storms. That would be great. I would probably want to try that. That sounds like it'd be a good idea. Let me build my house somewhere where there's no storms. I don't have to worry about anything. That's not what he says. Both builders. He says this guy is building and this guy's building. The storm comes against both houses. And that's life. So Jesus doesn't paint a picture for us of a path that builds your house in a way where there's no difficulties or no storms. What he does is he says, if you'll listen to me and do what I say, you will be standing when the storm is past. And if you don't, you won't. That's the difference between the two builders. Let me show you an example that comes to my mind. This house is called the Sand Palace, and it was on Mexico Beach, which is close to Panama City Beach. And the hurricane that came through last October hit this area really, really hard. You can see some damage over there. And actually, this house sustained some damage. I think it's called Sand Palace. It sustained some damage. It wasn't unscathed, but maybe not as bad as that house over there. But wait till you see the rest of the picture. So an aerial view of the Sand Palace. That's it there in the red circle. Look at everything around it. And maybe for a little different perspective, there's the Sand Palace. And look at everything around it. So it made several news stories when this happened. It's not by accident. These guys, when they decided to have this house built, they consulted an engineering company, and they said, we want to go beyond what codes require. We want this to be ready for the big one. We want this one to be able to keep standing when the inevitable happens and we take a direct hit from a hurricane. And so some of the ways that it's different from the other houses are the walls are a foot thick concrete, and the pylons or the things, whatever they call them, that there's a name for them. They go down deep in the ground. But these go, I think, I saw one place that said 48 feet, one said 60. So I guess it probably just depends on the where you started measuring. They go super deep into the ground. Usually in that area, they can't go to bedrock, so they just go deep, because it's sand. It's turtles all the way. The sand, like, as far. So they go, the pylons go super, super deep into the ground, and then this is concrete walls, and then they have actually rebar throughout, and cables that come up through the pylons and up into the roof and tie it down and go down the other side. So the structure of the roof is strapped down onto these things that go deep into the earth. So when the direct hit comes of the, it's built to withstand 240 mile an hour winds. And it did. Now, there was some damage to the ground floor, but otherwise it was still looking nice when the thing was all over with because of the way it had been built. And everything around it was pretty well blown to bits. There's some that are still sort of standing, but it was definitely in the best shape compared to everything else. And what Jesus is saying here is that everybody's building. And for a while, everybody's house might look just great. Your neighbor, he's building over there his life. Your